And furthermore, if he went there and directly met with him and they realized that, oh, Krishna, now Krishna has come, they would be in more anxiety because they would be fearing that at any moment he could leave. And so, therefore, in meeting, they could not experience any happiness because of the fear, constant fear of separation. So for this reason, Krishna did not return to Vrindavan from the external point of view. So, this is he mentioned by way of explaining that Krishna understood the inner mood of the gopis. Yet we also see that he sent Uddhava to Vrindavan to pacify the gopis, and he also later sent Baladev. But this didn't actually serve the purpose of consoling them. Rather, it only heightened millions of times the intensity of their separation from Krishna. He said, just like this is just like, as a worldly example, that a young girl, meaning a girl who is about to be married, then just before her marriage is about to take place, the person who will be her husband, he dies. Mm-hmm. So she is feeling great distress because of this. Then some months go by, and maybe after 6 months or a year, the brother of the person who she was going to marry, he comes to see her, and with the idea also of seeing how she is and pacifying her. But seeing the brother only increases her feeling of, it again brings to the surface all of her attachment and remembrance of that person and increases the mood of separation. So he said this is just a material example, but in the case of the gopis it was millions of times more pronounced by Uddhava or by Baladev going, because they were very intimate with Krishna and they knew so many pastimes of Krishna. So it simply increased the feeling of separation in the gopis. And Uddhava inspired such an intense mood of remembrance of Krishna and consequent separation from Krishna that the gopis were sometimes fainting, different conditions of Viyog. One of them is called, I forget the Sanskrit term, but, well, Murcha is more, it's a symptom, but it's, literally it means death. Murcha means fainting or unconsciousness. But the Sanskrit word which is used literally means death. But pralaya, maybe pralaya. I think there's another word. I mean, mrityu is there, but there's another word that's used. Anyway. but of course it doesn't mean that the gopis literally died, but like on the verge of death, which means one of the symptoms is that they're fainting. So Gurudev was saying the Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur, he has given a very wonderful commentary on this verse, meaning of course his commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam, and the verse which Sanatana Goswami is giving his Bhagavatam verse. Not that Krishna Chakravarti Thakur has given commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrit. There's no commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrit other than Sanatana Goswami's commentary. He's not given commentary on Brihad Bhagavatamrit, but he's given commentary on Srimad Bhagavatam. And the verses which are given in this section, many of them are from Srimad Bhagavatam. So, the mood which the gopis are expressing here is the highest manifestation of prema. That seed, prema begins in seed form from bhava. And then after that, when it thickens, it becomes prema. And then when it thickens more, it goes through different stages, then comes to mahabhav, then within mahabhav, rudabhav, then adirudabhav. So the verses which they are speaking are spoken from this mood, especially the verses of Shrimati Radhika. They are expressions of Adiruddha Mahabhav. And also within that there is Madan and Mohan. So, what she is speaking is not an ordinary expression by any means. It is a manifestation of the very topmost prema. So we have discussed that from the external viewpoint, Krishna did not return to Vrindavan. And now Gurudev is explaining that we should not think that he did not return to Vrindavan. And he's explaining that after the killing of Dantavakra, Krishna returned to Vrindavan. And he met with all the Vrajavasis, and they were very pleased to meet with Krishna. And then after 2 months, Krishna, taking all his associates, he entered the Aprakat Lila. That's what he said. So he said that after 2 months, Krishna took all his associates and entered Aprakat Lila. After he returned, after killing Dantavakra. So he said that constitutionally there is no difference between Prakat Lila and Aprakat Lila. The only difference is that the Prakat Lila is that Lila which is manifest in this world. It is manifest before the eyes of those who are fortunate to behold it. Those who were present during Krishna's appearance, they could see Krishna. So that is his Prakat Lila. Of course, even in the Prakat Lila, those who don't have the adhikar, those who don't have eligibility, those who don't have prema, they also cannot really see Krishna's Lila. Though they see Krishna, like Sanatana Goswami also describes in Brihad Bhagavatamrit, in the second part, when Gopakumar goes to Tapalok, and there the Navayogendras, who are fond of seeing the Lord in meditation and who think that this is the highest relation with the Lord, they explain there that there are many persons like Kams and Shishupal and Duryodhan. They also saw Krishna, but they didn't really see Krishna. In other words, they didn't, they could not understand who Krishna was. Just like people, they say, show me God. But even if you showed, even if Krishna appeared before their eyes, it wouldn't have any effect. They wouldn't realize that he was God. Like when Krishna went to, as a messenger of the Pandavas, to, what was it? Hastinapur or must have been Hastinapur. When he went as a messenger of the Pandavas to request Duryodhan that you should give a portion of the kingdom to the Pandavas. After all, they are your relatives and it is their rightful claim. So Duryodhan, of course he didn't listen to Krishna, and at that time he made a plan with his associates to capture Krishna. He said, we'll bind Krishna and we'll throw him in jail and then the Pandavas will be finished. So though he was seeing Krishna, he was thinking that Krishna was simply ordinary. And at that time, Krishna manifested his Viratrup, his universal form. And still, in spite of showing his Viratrup, they desisted for the moment. But they were thinking, Krishna knows some tricks, that's all. He's a Vrijavasi, and those Vrijavasis, they know some different tricks. So he's just showing some magic. They weren't thinking that Krishna is God or he's supreme or anything like that.
So Duryodhan had one robe, a noose. He was going to put that on Krishna's neck. When Krishna manifested the Vishnu robe, only to think of which head will I put it on.
But in any case, the Prakat Leela is that Leela which is manifest in this realm, and the Aprakat Leela is manifest in the spiritual realm. It is not visible to the eyes of those in this world.
But as Krishna gave Arjuna the eyes to see these three Swarups, so how comes Krishna gave the eyes to Duryodhan to see that form, otherwise he could not see it? How come his heart didn't change?
Because he was envious of Krishna. He had no devotion to Krishna, and he was also envious of Krishna's devotees. So therefore he could not understand. So Gurudev was saying that actually speaking, Krishna did return to Vrindavan even in the Prakat Leela, but that was not seen to the general people. And for the purpose of the Leela, there was the conception that Krishna had gone to Mathura. And then again, he made reference to this story where Krishna went to Navavrindavan. And when Krishna went there, although all of the Yashoda and Nanda Maharaj and Krishna's friends and the gopis and the cows and everything that was manifest there, they were simply statues. And yet, because of the state that Krishna was in, he was seeing them as real. He was seeing them as if they were directly Yashoda, Radhika, etc. And so when Baladev awoke him from his state of unconsciousness, then he saw that he was in Gopavesh. He was dressed like a cowherd boy, and that the whole surrounding was Vrindavan. And he thought, oh, I'm in Vrindavan. And then he thought that the whole experience in Mathura and Dwarka was simply a dream. And he saw his mother before him and began to speak to her. And he said, oh, what strange dreams I have had. He said, you wouldn't believe it. They were so vivid. And in my dream, I left Vrindavan, I went to Mathura, I married 16,108 wives, and from each of them I had 10 sons and one daughter. And so many things he described. So from Krishna's viewpoint, at that time, in Nava Vrindavan, the whole thing was simply a dream. So, Gurudev was saying that Krishna's going to Mathura and Dwarka, it was something like that. However, this is one point that I was a little fuzzy on, so don't take it as 100% sure. If you want to know more about this, you should inquire. So now he's coming back to the point of separation. Meeting and separation. So in meeting, a single moment, rather, in meeting, an entire kalpa, or koti kalpa, koti means 10 million, so 10 million days of Brahma, they are like an instant. And in separation, an instant is like koti kalpa. So he's concluding here that if in separation an instant is like koti kalpa, then how could Krishna possibly have stayed away so long from the gopis? He said it's not possible. Therefore, this was some kind of an external show for the purpose of Leela, and also for showing the intense mood of separation of the gopis and the intense quality of their prema. This Leela was manifest.
What was the first reason?
This one reason here, to show the quality of their prema and the quality of their mood of separation from Krishna. Now, the question comes about the eternality of prakat and aprakat lila. Certainly, we can understand that the aprakat lila is eternal. Krishna's lila in the spiritual realm, that is, there's no question there, that is eternal. How is the prakat lila eternal? He explained three ways. One is that when the Prakat Leela is finished in this universe, then immediately it manifests in another universe. So in this way it is constantly going on. It's only from our point of view in this universe that we don't see it, like the rising and setting of the sun. So that is one way. In another way, those who are fortunate, in other words, those who have the qualification, they can witness the Prakat Lila right now. In other words, through their sadhana and bhajan, they can see Krishna's lila taking place right now, although it is not seen by the general mass of people. So that is another way. And the third way is that when the Prakat Lila is concluded in this realm, then in one part it is manifest in the next universe, and in another aspect it attains unity with the Aprakat Lila. And although Gurudev didn't mention it here, I was reading a commentary recently of Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur about Aprakat Lila. And there he said, so the question comes that what about at the time of Pralay, at the end of Brahma's day, or rather at the end of Brahma's life, when the entire material cosmos is annihilated, then there's no universe that is existing where Krishna's lila can be manifest. So Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur comments there that by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, she makes what he calls Kalpit Brahmanda. Yoga Maya fabricates some universe, and Krishna's lila takes place there. Kalpit Brahmanda means a fabricated universe. So to understand this mood of separation, we have to make gradual advancement through sadhana and bhajan. And generally that means beginning from Vaidhi, the Vaidhi Marg. And then he also went through these five aspects: bhavmayi, bhav sambandhi, bhav anukul, bhav abhirud, and bhav virud. So he's explained this many times. I'll only briefly go through it. Bhavmayi means the relationship that one has with the Lord, the five primary types of relationship. And bhav sambandhi means the primary angas of sadhana, especially like the nine primary forms of sadhana and the five primary forms. And these are bhav sambandhi, and when they are performed with the goal of establishing one in one's particular relationship with the Lord for which one aspires, that is bhav sambandhi. Bhavanukul means things which are favorable, such as applying tilak, wearing tulsi mala, observing ekadasi. The bhav sambandhi absolutely must be followed. And bhav anukul must also be followed, because it is favorable. Bhav abhirud means things which are not unfavorable. And they can be followed or not followed. Things like hearing the Puranas, he mentioned, not necessarily unfavorable, but not necessarily favorable either. I mean, not necessarily essential. And he mentioned other things like respecting the fig or banyan tree, and other things like that. And virud, things that should be avoided, like mudra, nyas, which means different different gestures that one uses in deity worship, giving up unfavorable association, meditating on the queens of Dwarka, things like this. These are unfavorable to the mood of attaining the mood of the gopis. So these things should be given up. And as we take more association, we can understand these things more clearly. So, in the Aprakat Lila, there is also Viyog, but it is like when Krishna goes for herding the cows. Then the gopis experience separation. And he gave, again, just an ordinary example for us to get some idea of separation and how time, how the conception of time changes in separation and how it changes also in meeting. Just like a person who is very, very diseased and in the hospital and is being treated and is suffering acutely and may also be maybe some threat of death may also be there. And then at night the doctors, they leave, and all night long the patient is suffering in his disease state. And the night passes very, very slowly. Every instant is like a very, very long period of time. And conversely, when there is some occasion of great happiness, like a marriage celebration, then it passes very quickly. So this is true even in the mundane realm of experience. So what to speak of what the gopis are experiencing? He said, actually, we cannot describe what the gopis are experiencing. It is beyond description. We can only give some external symptoms of it. Just like the person who is diseased. We can describe some of the external symptoms of the disease. But what they are really experiencing is very difficult to convey. So the external symptoms of what they are experiencing are like the external symptoms of bhav, which are described shantira vyatta kalatvam, the nine symptoms of bhav, which are described in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. And then the other symptoms, like the anubhav, satrik bhavs, external symptoms which exhibit or in some way demonstrate or give some idea of the mood which is experienced within. And the satvik bhavs, like crying, trembling, becoming stunned. And these are all external symptoms by which one can get some idea of what they're experiencing internally. Some of these symptoms are more readily recognizable. He said, especially like tears. People recognize tears. But becoming stunned, that is something that is very difficult to understand for an ordinary person. He gave the example of one time Rupa Goswami was hearing narration of Srimad Bhagavat, and so many Vaishnavas were there, and everyone was hearing, and the everyone was so overwhelmed by the descriptions that they were crying and some were rolling on the ground exhibiting various symptoms. And Rupa Goswami was not showing any symptom, just sitting completely still. And so one person was very curious about this. He thought that everyone is exhibiting so many wonderful symptoms. And Rupa Goswami is supposed to be such a great devotee. He's not, he seems to be unmoved. So how is this? So then someone said that you take a cotton swab and you put it under his nose to see if he is breathing or anything, if there's any symptom, whether he is alive or whether he is unconscious or what. So when they put a cotton swab under his nose, and then it burst into flames. So then he said, and now you can understand, now you can have some idea what is it, what is his internal state. So this was Stambha. It was actually like a pillar, completely motionless. But internally his heart was blazing. And also like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu exhibited very extraordinary anubhavs that were not seen in this world. In Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu there are 8 ashtasattvic bhavs, 8 symptoms of ecstasy. And it's also mentioned that there is another symptom, oozing blood from the pores. But this is not given as an ashtasattvic bhav because it is not observed anywhere. But in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu this symptom was observed. Or other extraordinary symptoms, such as all of the limbs shrinking into his trunk, or sometimes becoming very elongated. So these were also extraordinary sattvic bhavs, which were not seen before in anyone else. And when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to Puri for the first time, and he saw Jagannath, and he became unconscious, and at first the Saivites of the temple, they thought, who is this person who's putting on some show? And they were going to carry him out. But Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya was there, and because he was somewhat expert in these matters, he could understand that no, these symptoms, they're not ordinary symptoms. And then he had him carried to his house, and he could understand that this was some divine state of prem based on the symptoms. So these are just symptoms by which one can get a glimpse of the inner bhav. But even Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, he could not really understand. He could understand something, but these are symptoms of prem. But Surabh Damodar and Rai Ramanand, they could understand factually the heart of Mahaprabhu and what he was experiencing. So then again he was coming back to this point of mamata, and he said something about gotra. Gotra generally means the family lineage. But gotra also means go-tra. Go means the senses and so many other things. And tra means to deliver. So he who delivers the senses, in other words, he who takes charge of the senses, or he who takes possession of the senses, he who is one's protector, that is achyuta. Therefore, when the devotees are asked, what is your gotra? Like, if you go to Radhakund or any place and the caste brahmanas are there and they want to do some puja for you, and then you have to give your gotra, what is your family? So we are coming in Achyuta gotra. We have no other gotra. Gotra means your family lineage. So Achyuta gotra means the family of Sri Krishna. He is literally our gotra. He is he who protects or takes possession of our mind, our senses, our body, everything. So that is due to the sense of mamata. Without mamata, there can be no prema. And that prema, so prema comes through the sense of relationship. And that sambandha is given by guru. And it develops through sadhana. So again, he's coming back to where he started the class. And the last point he made was that he said that prema, one meaning of prema he gave is prishta milna, which means meeting with the beloved. Prishta milna means meeting with the beloved. And as we explained earlier, the conception of time changes in prema. In meeting, a kalpa will be like a second. And in separation, a second will be like a kalpa. And also, it is said that when Krishna performed Ras Lila with the gopis, they actually perform ras for a night of Brahma. So what about the other associates of Krishna? If Krishna was doing ras lila for a night of Brahma, what were the other devotees of Krishna experiencing? Because they also experienced separation from Krishna. The cowherd boys and Krishna's mother and father. If Krishna was with the gopis for a night of Brahma, what were they doing? So he said that by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, although it was actually a night of Brahma that he performed Ras Lila with the gopis, but by the arrangement of Yoga Maya, that night of Brahma was just a night of ordinary duration for the other associates in the Prakat Lila. So it was both things simultaneously. It was a night of Brahma and it was also just a night of ordinary duration by Yoga Maya's arrangement.
Just
1 second, three ways. Because it's late, can we meet
tomorrow?
I have to come. Which is exhibited by the Sakis towards Srimati Radhika when she has too much man towards Krishna. And even Lalita, who's always encouraging her to, you should not be soft towards Krishna, you should not give in to him, and she's teaching her how to do man. But even sometimes Lalita becomes frustrated with Radhika when she exhibits so much man that then at that point Lalita, her heart becomes softened towards Krishna. This is the characteristic of the Paramapreshta Sakis. that's, although they are very, although they are inclined towards Srimati Radhika, yet when they feel that Srimati Radhika is causing too much pain to Krishna, then they become inclined towards Krishna. And sometimes they become angry towards Srimati Radhika. So sometimes it appears that Radhika is becoming cruel or Krishna is becoming cruel. So this is all simply for creating some variety in the Leela. Simply to increase the love and affection between Radha and Krishna. So then he also explained that there's no difference between Gokul and Golok. Srila Jiva Goswami has explained this. That Gokul refers to the Prakat Leela and Golok refers to Aprakat Leela. But those who are seeing that the Gokul is none different from Golok. In other words, their reference point is Golok. And they're seeing that, in comparison to Golok, Gokul is none different. They are seeing from the point of view of Vastu Siddhi. Because Vastu Siddhi means that they have entered the Nitya Leela. They have entered Golok. So those who are seeing from the reference point of Golok and saying that, Gokul is none different from Golok, they are seeing from that viewpoint, from Vastu Siddhi. And those who are seeing from the reference point of Gokul, that Golok is none different from Gokul, they are seeing from the viewpoint of Swarup Siddhi.
Because you see that Gokul is none different from Golok.
In other words, their reference point is Gokul.
They see that it is different.
No, they're seeing it's none different. But it's a question of, like in Sanskrit you have Upameya Upaman, and what is called Samanya Dharma. So in any comparison, in metaphor, or in simile, there are three elements. There is the thing to be compared, there is the thing with which it is compared, and Samanya Dharma means that which they have in common, which makes the comparison possible. Because unless they have some common nature, you cannot compare them. And the thing which is upameya, the thing with which you compare it with, that is like the reference point. Like if I say that a lotus-like face, then the lotus is that with which the thing is being compared. And the thing with which you compare something is always superior. Because the other thing is, in order to show the beauty or excellence of something, you will compare it to something that is recognized as being beautiful or powerful or whatever. So that thing is considered to be, to actually have the quality. And just to give some idea, we compare it with that. So the face will be upaman here. And the samanya dharma is their beauty. They both, the lotus has beauty and the face has beauty, so they are compared. But then, so this is a standard standard principle of Alankara Shastra. Alankara Shastra means that Shastra which is dealing with literary embellishments. In English they call it the science of rhetoric. So,
what?
Rhetoric. Yeah. So we see in some place that Krishna has compared Radhika's face to the moon. So the upameya there is the moon, And Radhika's face is the Upamana. But Radhika became insulted.
Yeah.
Because the Upamaya is always superior to the Upamana. Yeah. And he's saying, what? You're saying that my face is like the moon, but the moon is spotted, it has faults. So she was angry with Krishna. So in this case, when we're speaking of Srimati Radhika or of the spiritual realm, these principles, they don't apply. Or rather, they are, we see that there is some deficiency there. So therefore, later on in the class, Gurudev was making the point that any material example we give to try to explain transcendental phenomena, it will be deficient. It's only for giving one aspect of understanding. So, in other words, coming back to this point of Gokula and Golok, for those who are in Vastu City, Golok will be Upameya. Golok will be the thing with which it is compared. So even though we say, yes, they are both the same, but in this case, the Gokul is being compared with Golok. So in other words, superiority or prominence is given to Golok. But from in Swarup Siddhi, because one is seeing from this realm, from the point of view of Gokul, because that is our experience, not our experience, but someone in Swarup Siddhi, he's not yet entered Golok, does not have direct experience of Golok, has experience of Gokul. So he will compare Golok with his what he has experience of, which is Gokul. So Gokul will be his reference point.
Both will conclude.